And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news. A tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. If you were listening about an hour ago, Ursula and I had a spirited disagreement about an issue in the news. And I have a feeling we're about to have another one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I saw the story on King 5 last night about how more and more Washington state government employees are bringing their infants to work.
Oh, buddy.
It's not what we're used to seeing or hearing at work. But at the state's DSHS office in Lacey.
Can you imagine?
Okay, seriously, they found the one baby that's just like probably teething.
Oh, yeah, because babies never cry, right? Oh, yeah, that was unusual.
Let's wait till it's really bad.
This is normal.
Oh, it's normal, apparently. I didn't even know that was the next line after that.
Four-month-old Hendrix comes to work here every day.
We try to be business casual, you know, which is the attire here. So I want him to fit in that way. But
other than the occasional outburst.
When he's hungry, but I'm like, I get kind of grouchy when I'm hungry, too.
Mother Erica Hurley says her co-workers love Hendrix.
He has routine visitors that come in each morning to get a smile or a hug from him.
Hi, you want to get in?
This is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life. Bringing infants to work. And according to State Lands Commissioner Hillary Franz, I don't believe what she says here for one second.
I think oftentimes we think it's more difficult than it is. When we actually bring them into the workplace, we find productivity actually goes up.
I absolutely do not believe that people are more productive with their babies at work. And then they said that some workers...
Why?
Because you're giving some of your time and attention to your baby.
Well, and do you not think that there are people in this building right now? Do you think people are just nose to the grindstone and working all the time?
I know that I am. I literally do not have a free second when I'm here.
Okay, you are the exception. And you are also within 10 seconds of the last goodbye, you are flying out the door. Right,
right. You know why? Because I sometimes have some family commitments, and when I'm with my family,
I know.
I try to be present, and I try not to look at my phone and do work stuff. When I'm at work, I'm not attending to a baby. And if I was, I couldn't do everything that I get done for the show.
Correct.
I don't know if you want me to call you out on this or not, but what about when you go and talk to your friend Russ?
Oh, there you go. Or Brock. Or Dave Wyman.
During the show, when we have a recorded interview or something.
Sure.
Yes.
And are you putting in the full 8 hours here at work? No, you do things because you've found you're more productive elsewhere.
But here's, and I'll tell you something, because my wife has, you know, come to understand, because I do show prep from about 6:30 to 9:30 a.m. And especially in the summertime, mm-hmm. when my wife, who's a school employee, when she's at home, she's kind of understood because I sit on the sofa and I do show prep, but I don't do the chit chat. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of understood. I got to leave me alone. She's got to leave me alone because I am focused on work when I'm working.
I know. And I think there are some jobs that would not lend themselves to allow for bring your baby to work. I mean, I think it would be very difficult, for example, in my position, mm-hmm. you know, anchoring every half hour. I think it would be hard if I was still nursing the child, all that kind of stuff. That said, I mean, if your employer allows you, you know, or provides for daycare in the building.
Oh, it's a horrible
although,
idea.
So this is just until the babies are 6 months old.
There you go.
So
horrible
they really
idea.
Aren't that bad.
And no. And you imagine? Okay.
Better that than to have to take time off or, okay, now I got to go home because, you know, I think it would take a lot of stress off a lot of people. And look how much joy. Did you hear that report? It brings joy to the others.
Wait, let me
I know
hear.
Nicole would be all over it.
Let me hear all the joy in this report.
buddy.
It's not what...
Yeah, that sounds really joyful. And for the... What about the co-workers? What about the childless co-workers? And I'm really serious about this because I think childless people get screwed over because they have to pick up the slack for their co-workers with kids who have to
leave.
Because
they don't scroll around and look at Facebook and Instagram and post this, that, and the other thing when they have free time.
If that's what people are doing on the job, then the managers should do a better job of managing.
I think it's well documented that people don't. I mean, that they just your brain naturally will take breaks.
I'm just kind of old-fashioned. I think when you're at work, you should be working. You should be dedicated. They're paying us.
But if they say the job is still getting done, Hillary Frantz says productivity may be up.
I don't believe her. I don't believe productivity.
No, you can't say.
Far be it for a government employee to lie to us.
Well, it's not in her best interest to say that productivity is up. If it truly isn't, she doesn't benefit from that.
Let me go back to the childless coworkers.
Yes,
they have to listen to this. If they don't have any free time on their job and they see their coworker with an infant who has to go and attend to the child who's whining and crying and teething, horrible idea.
And I agree with that there has to be also something for those who choose not to have children or who don't have children yet. I think there needs to be some
bring your dog to work.
Bring your dog to work. Or, you know, maybe you take an additional break or, you know, you something.
Yeah, I think when you're with your family, with your kids, put your phone away, put your computer away, be present for them. And just be in the moment and be a mom, be a dad when you're with your kids. When you're at work, be a worker. You've agreed on a salary and your employer deserves all your attention.
But if you get the job done, what's the harm?
I knew we were going to disagree on that one. Okay, I'll tell you somebody who... I've got to go down my stack here. Here's somebody who probably is not the most productive worker. Robert De Niro's company is suing an employee for $6 million.
Why?
Because they allege that this employee, while on the job, would binge watch Friends. And can I say the name of your favorite show, Nicole?
I don't know. It makes me nervous.
Yeah. I don't think I can say the name of it.
It is the name of the show.
Well, I know, but...
It's spelled with an S-C-H-I-T-T-S. Oh, there you go.
Ursula. Nice. Yeah, That Creek.
Yeah, that one.
I'm not going to... Okay. I'm not. You're more secure in your job than I am in mine. I can't.
Maybe not.
I can't dare risk the wrath.
Okay.
Of our company.
In any case.
But anyway, so this employee,
which is funny because this almost sounds like Nicole, because those are your two favorite shows.
I know, yes. Right?
I told Nicole that this De Niro worker sounds like her spirit animal. This employee allegedly watched 55 hours of Netflix in a 4-day period.
Okay, that's a problem.
That's 14 hours a day.
while collecting pay.
Did her work get done? Maybe on in the background?
Well, no, she was attending to her baby in the during the commercial breaks. So, but how De Niro came up with $6 million, they said that she spent $12,000 in unauthorized restaurant charges, $8,900 at Dean and DeLuca and Whole Foods, $32,000 on Ubers and taxis, bought herself.
What was her job? How did she get away with this?
She was promoted to vice president of production and finance at De Niro's production company. She bought herself a $1,300 flower arrangement for her birthday.
$1,300?
What does a $1,300 flower arrangement look like?
That's an entire garden.
I know.
Wedding flowers, you know, a bouquet, I mean, they don't even cost that much. I mean,
And they're seeking $3 million for her disloyalty and violation of the faithless.
Hmm.
I've never heard of that phrase, the violation of the faithless. Okay, so anyway, there's your lazy, no good for nothing employee.
We agree on that one.
Next up in the Fastest 15. So Seattle's getting a new XFL team. This is going to be another professional football team. They're going to play in the NFL offseason, starting in February, but this team's going to play at CenturyLink Field. And this morning, and by the way, Jim Zorn's going to be the coach and general manager. He's a really good guy, and he's coached with the Seahawks. He was the head coach of the Washington Redskins for a short time. Jim Zorn's a good guy. But the name, they announced the name of this team this morning, the Seattle Dragons. Do we like that? We happy with that?
No, it's cartoony. I don't like it.
You know what it's about? This is all that these upstart leagues are about is marketing. And because the fantasy genre is huge right now.
Yes.
They're trying to capitalize on that. But what is Dragons?
Appealing to the younger. Yeah, that has nothing to do with
Seattle
or the Pacific Northwest.
I hate that nickname. Seattle Dragons. I wonder if I can do their pre and post game show.
I think all of our
that nickname.
Most of our mascots are very, you know, unique.
Yeah, that one.
Uniquely named. There we go. But that is lame.
By the way, I know we've just come to accept it after 42 years. Mariners was a horrible name. And we wouldn't think about it.
It makes sense.
I guess.
Yeah, that was surrounded by water.
That's not horrible.
When they picked that, because I was like 13 years old when they announced it. I was really crestfallen. I don't know what the other options were. Now we've just come to accept that that's the team name. And everybody seems to like it okay. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, Amazon, a couple of nights ago, they had a huge party for a huge party at CenturyLink Field for their workers, and they got Katy Perry there to perform. Also, Lil Nas X was there. And so Jeff Bezos got up to thank all of his employees at this concert.
I remember it was just a little over 20 years ago. I was driving all the packages to the post office myself. That wasn't that long ago. And when I look out at this crowd, I am in awe of what you guys do. In awe of what you guys do. Not just on Prime Day, but every day. The curiosity, the passion, the hard work, everything that I see when I get to work with you guys, it's just amazing to me, and it's awesome.
Okay, so they bring in Katy Perry, Lil Nas X, and he, you know, makes a nice speech to them.
That's an expensive party.
Yeah, so you know what the headline is internationally about this in the Daily Mail? Why don't you pay your workers a living wage instead of throwing them a concert? Jeff Bezos is slammed after posing with Katy Perry and Lil Nas at gig in Seattle for Amazon workers. And then they quote random people on Twitter. Are they going to ask Jeff why his employees don't have health care, forced to clock out before overtime, and why he doesn't pay taxes? And then another person, oh my God, that's gross. I mean, yay for the employees, I guess, but maybe just give them a living wage. You know what? There are going to be people on Twitter saying hateful things about every side
that's
of
true.
Every story. And if you want to spin every story in the world, could be like that if you just start picking random tweets. But
what do you think of the idea, though? Because it's something that we've also talked about here at work, and I think many workplaces have this, like throwing a big fat party. Would you rather have the company throw a big fat party, or you would get, you know, a bump, or you would get, you know,
it depends on what the party is. You know, like a few years ago, we got tickets at the Fifth Ave for a Christmas Story,
right.
And we had a nice reception in the lobby before that, and that was cool. If it's an experiential thing, then the party. If it's just we're going to go into a restaurant and commingle with each other,
You're out.
I'm not down with that. Yeah, I could stay at home and.
I would imagine that there are some people who say, you know, that they would rather have the equivalent of health care or, you know, instead of paying those millions.
Well, this is a fraction of the cost. And bringing in Katy Perry is pretty, that's a pretty cool thing.
I'd love to go to that party.
I bet everybody loved going to that. So getting slammed for that is outrageous. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, we got this news right as we were getting off the air yesterday. It's a heartbreaker, too. Larry King, his seventh wife, and he are divorcing. And we're finding out today that his wife, Sean King, he's 85 years old. She's 59. She was blindsided by his divorce petition after their 22-year marriage, and he has left her devastated. So here's what's going on. I know a little bit about this one. Because, as you know, I snuck into Larry King's studio when I was 17 years old, back in Virginia. So I have some unique insights as to Larry King. So they've been married for 22 years. She's his seventh wife. When she married him, he was 67 and had had or 63, and he'd had a couple of heart attacks already. And so he's filthy rich, too. Oh, Larry King's made a fortune. So she's thinking, he's not going to be around that long because he's got heart issues. And if I marry this guy, and she was, 37, she was beautiful. And she's thinking, okay, I can put up with a few years because the old ticker ain't going to hold out on Larry.
They've been together 22 years.
And then it turns out, after 22 years, Larry just had another heart procedure a few months ago.
And he was told he was probably not going to live.
Yeah. And then, now he's returning to work soon, I heard. And he's okay again. And so for Larry, his kids from his previous marriage, they're saying, okay, Dad's not going to last that much longer because he's 85. We want to get all of his money. We don't want Sean, his seventh wife, to get all this dough. And so the kids are chirping in Larry's ear. And when Sean was 37, she could get Larry's ear. But Larry, he's always had an eye for the young beauties. And now he doesn't really care what Sean says as much as he cares what his sons are telling him. And the sons are saying, we want your money, Dad. Don't give it to her. You had six wives before her. She's not that important. She's not that special. And that's why Larry's doing it. He's doing it because his kids told him to. That's my unique insight because I snuck into his studio when I was 17. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, I got a bunch of other news to get to as we cruise through the afternoon together here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm checking out the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. We were talking about bringing babies to work. Some people have said, same thing with smokers. They hate having to cover for their co-workers who smoke and they go out on smoke breaks. I agree
Good
with that.
Good point. I would rather have babies all over the newsroom than
I'd rather have
lots
neither.
Of smokers.
I'd rather have neither. You know what I don't want in my face? I don't want smoke and I don't want spit up. So let's keep both of them out of the workplace. But, over the years, we've worked with people who would be out hourly.
I mean, they would go out in groups.
Break. Yes.
Even some manager types. What is going on?
Hey, speaking of manager types, have you worked with many managers who were super negative?
Oh, yes.
That was their management style?
Yes. Not many. I mean, because everyone knows, I've worked here for 30 years. I was in management.
Yes.
At some point in time.
Right.
For about 7 years.
And did you feel, and have you worked with managers who were just always uplifting and supportive?
Yes.
Which got the most out of you?
Uplifting.
Not according to this new study. Now, I'm translating from athletics to the workplace now. But this is,
I would say uplifting, but also firm.
Okay. This is a really fascinating study. I was fascinated by this. Researchers at Cal Berkeley's School of Business, they asked high school and college coaches all throughout California, will you record your halftime speech for us? And then they compared the level of negativity and anger in the halftime speech to how the teams performed in the second half of games. And what they found, the more angry and the more negative the halftime speeches were, the better the teams performed in the second half of games. And they say that they studied hundreds and hundreds of halftime speeches. The more negativity, the more the team outscored their opponents. The more positive coaches did not get as positive a response out of their team.
But I also wonder, how do you define negativity?
In sports?
Uh-huh.
and
what was your MO? I mean, what did you do?
I completely won
a championship.
I completely disagree with this study. But I'm going to acknowledge, I don't know. What they don't do is they don't give a gender breakdown.
Mm.
Because I truly believe that coaching girls, because a lot of people ask me, you know, would I ever want to switch over and coach boys? And from a basketball standpoint, I absolutely could have.
Mm-hmm.
From a emotional connection standpoint, I think that I was perfectly suited to coach girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea if that style translates. And I wish there was a gender breakdown. Because here's what I know about coaching girls. That if you let them know that you will do anything for them, you will help them in any way, that you care about them as people and not just basketball players.
Right.
Yeah. They'll run through a wall for
you. That's right.
I don't know if boys are like that. I think boys are wired differently than girls.
I think they would feel the same. I mean, just in talking to my boys, so you're surrounded by girls at mm-hmm. home and I'm surrounded by boys.
Yes.
And in my boys' case, they would say they loved the tough talking coaches, but they also had to know that those coaches cared about them outside of what was going on the field.
But here's what I think's the difference. And this is why I think the study's fascinating, but I don't know if it applies to women's sports. If you rip a boy, if a coach rips a boy, the boy will, you know, let go of the personal side of it. You rip a girl, you lose a girl, they're lost. They're gone. They are not as easy to forgive.
And obviously that's very generalized because I would also know, I know that there are young men who you rip them and, you know, and I think the days of, oh, you're just being a sissy or whatever. I mean, I think.
I wish Wyman was here. Because I know Wyman says that the coaches that would tear him a new one.
Yeah.
He did better for
them. No offense, but Wyman's of a different generation. I'm just saying, like, talking to.
Well, but according to the study today. This is a study that's in the news today.
Mm-hmm.
And high school and college athletes mm-hmm. respond better to negativity and again
constant negativity.
Well, in halftime speeches, all they cited were halftime speeches. So I don't know if they had any other qualifiers.
Yeah. And I would imagine for immediate results, if you're losing or just screwing up all over the place, and it's like you need to have some tough talk right there to have an immediate correction. I get that. Just over a long period of time,
I just feel like if you got to scream at your kids at halftime. You have failed as a coach the practice days leading up to that.
Right.
Because they should know all the stuff they're supposed to know by then. And now it's just reinforcing. And what I would always do is, you know, if it's a horrible first half, I'd go in, I'd light them up right at the beginning. And then, okay, here's what we got to focus on. And then you end with something positive and uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
That was always my style and my strategy. But I guess I'm just a wimp. And maybe I retired 2 years ago. So maybe I couldn't work in 2019.
I have to be
more negative now. Okay, get some other stuff in the news today. We talked to, I told you about this. I'm baffled by this. Bill Gates flew on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express, which is what his pedophile airplane with underage girls was nicknamed, after Jeffrey Epstein had been convicted of sex with underage girls. And now people are starting to ask Bill Gates. Bill Gates and his spokespeople refuse to explain why Bill Gates flew from Teterboro Airport in New Jersey to Palm Beach on March 1st, 2013 with Jeffrey Epstein. They've tried to contact Gates through his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. A rep denied that Epstein ever worked for Bill Gates, but would not comment on the 2013 flight. And I told the story a few days ago when we first heard that Bill Gates flew on his plane. And I said, I cannot fathom a reason why Bill Gates would get on a plane with somebody who 5 years earlier had been convicted of sex with underage girls and who was, a known pedophile. And it's weird to me that, and I'm not suggesting that Bill Gates did anything untoward. And,
but if you see the names of the people that Epstein, worked with and mm-hmm. were affiliated, the people who were affiliated with him, I mean, there are some big names.
I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, Bill Clinton flew on this plane 27 times. And I certainly have my suspicions because Bill Clinton proved, that he was a bit of a horn dog as president, as we know. But I'm just saying, what is the vetting process? And why would Bill Gates, that just seems to be such a breach of common sense.
Could there be any possibility of him just being clueless about it?
If that's the case, for somebody as brilliant as Bill Gates, that's a pretty significant hole. He's got people around him, and you're supposed to protect your boss from consorting with pedophiles.
I mean, speaking of Bill Gates, did you hear too that a former science advisor for Bill Gates was named as backup executor of Epstein's will?
Yeah, but did not, or turned down the gig. But that's who
Epstein. He's like, huh?
Yeah, that's who Epstein wanted to be his executor. It was somebody who's Bill Gates' guy. So yeah, it's weird. It's very weird to me. I think Gates should have an answer why he was on the Lolita Express. Okay, I got a lot of other news to get to. Got some exclusives coming up in the Big Lead at 2 that you won't hear anywhere else, too, as the Dory Monson Show rolls off. So you heard the story in the Big Lead an hour and a half ago. The man who hacked Capital One, 100,000 or 100 million identities were compromised. Social Security numbers were snagged by this guy. His lawyer is now requesting he be moved out of the men's jail because he claims he's a woman, and they say they should move him to the women's jail. These trans stories, I mean, every day there's like a dozen trans stories in the news. We've talked a lot about drag queen story time at the King County Libraries, which to me is just insanity. It's another example of our local government officials going insane, that we are using tax dollars to, and again, somebody wants to be a drag queen? Cool. Be a bit of a drag queen. You want to, if people who like going to drag queen shows, that's your form of entertainment. Couldn't care less. Do that. But using the government and the taxpayers to expose children, because there's one thing that's undeniable, is that drag queen culture is about very raunchy sex and about, it's very heavily filled with drugs. There's no question about that. And, we have audio of these drag queens telling, 6-year-olds, follow me on Insta. And it's just, it's pure insanity. And let me tell you the extension of this insanity. In Australia, where they, like here in King County, where they have drag queen story time, one of the things they've done in Australian libraries is they have a book about trans teens telling their stories, titled Beyond Magenta, Transgender Teens Speak Out. And it includes the story of one of the teens who describes how when he was 6 years old, he enjoyed oral sex. And they got this book in 60 libraries in the teen section of the libraries, talking about six-year-olds and a sex act like that. Is there anybody really who believes that this makes sense, that this is the right path and direction for our children and for our society? Because I find that hard to believe, that people really truly think that this is a good path that we're on to expose children to that. It's insane to me. It's insane. Just saw that story today. Okay, let's go back to the presidential campaign trail where everything is sane. I told you about Donald Trump. So far, Joe Biden. And by the way, I agree with Tucker Carlson. There's no chance Joe Biden is going to be the Democrat nominee. None. Zero. His wife, Jill, I played you the soundbite yesterday. Jill Biden said, yeah, other candidates might be better on the issues, but you might have to swallow a little bit and vote for Joe because he has a better chance of winning. That was about the worst endorsement from a wife I've ever heard. Well, here's the latest from Joe Biden.
And I think that the behavior of this administration has awakened a whole new generation to get engaged in ways they might not have gotten before. Just like in my generation, when I got out of school, that when Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King had been assassinated in the 70s, when I got engaged.
In the late 70s, MLK and JFK, and Bobby Kennedy got assassinated in the late 70s. Decade off, Joe. Decade off. Big Lead 2 is next.